Back in 1971, a Mr. and Mrs. Farmer from Margate travelled to Wales for their summer holidays. At the start of the week, they decided to go on a British Rail mystery tour. It went to Margate. Mr. Farmer explained that for months they'd been looking forward to getting away. It was a bit of a disappointment. Mind you, in 1976, some prisoners in Mexico had an even bigger disappointment. They'd started digging a tunnel in November 1975, designed to bring them up the other side of the prison wall. On the 18th of April 1976, their tunnel came up in the nearby courtroom. The surprised judges, who were actually sitting at the time, sent all 75 of them straight back to prison again. One of the almost inescapable features of life is that it does sometimes bring disappointments. The author Seamus Heaney wrote, "I think childhood is, generally speaking, a preparation for disappointment." And while Kurt Vonnegut wrote, "Maturity is a bitter disappointment for which no remedy exists." Well, that was cheerful, wasn't it? But it brings us to the next in our series of new songs, old songs. As you'll know, if you've been here over the past few weeks, on Sunday mornings we're thinking about some of the songs which have provided the soundtrack to a lot of people's lives, and then seeing how those great ancient songs, the Psalms, answer some of the questions that these modern songs leave unresolved. And the song this morning, the new song, well, it's not exactly a new song, it's 20 years old, a song that a group called Radiohead released, a song called No Surprises. Now, as with several of the songs in this series, you might never have heard of Radiohead, let alone the song. But I think that often when bands do achieve a lasting popularity, or when songs endure, it isn't just because of the tunes, but because the words of the songs actually resonate with people's lives. They're things we can relate to. And maybe the fact that No Surprises is still being played 20 years after its release is because for many people, they feel the lyrics just describe their life. A heart that's full up like a landfill, a job that slowly kills you, bruises that won't heal. You look so tired, unhappy. Now, I don't think anybody would ever accuse Radiohead of being a cheerful group, but that song just seems to capture disappointment in life. And even though it can talk about having a pretty house and a pretty garden, they just don't fill that void. Life is made up, as the little repeating line that goes through this song, no alarms and no surprises. Nothing different happens. There is just disappointment. Now, maybe you can't relate to that at all this morning. But many people will be able to, because life can be disappointing. And I think that that is something that can be just as bad for Christians to have to deal with. In fact, I think it can be worse for Christians trying to deal with it. Because at times, our disappointment in life can actually spill over and become disappointment with God. And that's nothing new. It's something you actually find in the Bible, which may be a surprise. God sent Jonah to preach in Nineveh. But when the Ninevites repented, Jonah wasn't happy. And in Jonah 4:3, he says, "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live." Jonah was just eaten up with disappointment. Or Jeremiah, called by God to be a prophet, he was constantly rejected by God's people. Why did God put him through that? And in Jeremiah 20, he writes, "So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Again, that real sense of disappointment in God. But maybe most of all, it's in Psalm 73 that you find that. The psalm that we read together a little while ago, beginning on page 586. Let's turn to that now. Psalm 73 begins, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." That's got to be right, hasn't it? God must be good to his people, especially when his people are pure in heart, people who love and trust and obey him. Even Asaph knew that should be the case, and I guess we have even more reason to believe it. After all, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." So what happens when God seems not to deliver on that? What happens when it actually seems as though those who reject the Lord and go their own way, do their own thing, when they seem to be the ones for whom everything is working out well? The sort of people Asaph knew there in verse 3-5. "For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills." It's the sort of thing we see today when people who want nothing to do with God seem to have a perfectly happy and satisfactory life. And for Asaph, well, it was just about, well, it was too much. Verse 13, "Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence." In other words, what's the point of being a Christian if your non-Christian neighbors and colleagues seem to get all the breaks? Asaph was a disappointed man. Doesn't necessarily mean that his life was full of tragedy, though that, of course, brings huge disappointments, as we've seen as a church with Nick's death a few weeks ago. But I think that when Asaph says, "All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings me new punishments," he doesn't necessarily mean that literally. It could just be that constant pain of disappointment, because life's not working out how he expected it to, how he dreamed that it would. So what do you do when life has left you feeling disappointed? When your dreams have crumbled? When even God doesn't seem to have blessed you in the way you expected? What do you do when you are in Asaph's position? I think that one of the things we've discovered from the songs we've listened to and thought about over the past few weeks is that these modern songs can be very good at asking the question, but so often can't give the answer. Think of Castle on the Hill by Ed Sheeran. You might wish that you could go back to the past. You might be sort of consumed by nostalgia for the good old days, but you can't go back. Or think of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Pretty well everybody lives with dreams, but so rarely can we actually manage to capture those dreams. One writer said, "The floor of dreams is eggshell thin." And it's true. And No Surprises by Radiohead. Life might have left you feeling bitterly disappointed, but what can you do about it? What did Asaph do? Verse 16 and 17. "When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God." The only antidote to disappointment in this life is to be able to look at the bigger picture. I've just read a book by the Christian author Paul Tripp. The book was just called Awe. And an expression which Tripp uses in that is that many of us, even as Christians, have become what he calls awe amnesiacs. We have forgotten the wonder, the glory, the majesty of God. Oh, certainly we'll sing about God's glory and majesty in some of our hymns, but so often something else takes the place of awe of God in our hearts. But you see, we were created for awe. Worship is hardwired into us as humans. But I think there are two things that, that Paul Tripp says in his book that are important. Firstly, where you look for awe will shape the direction of your life. And second, misplaced awe keeps you perennially dissatisfied. He says, well, I guess in our heart of hearts we know nothing in the entire physical created world can give rest, peace, identity, meaning, purpose, or lasting contentment to your awe-craving heart. Looking to anything that God has created to satisfy this internal desire is actually an act of personal spiritual futility. And as I said, I guess we know that. But we all too easily allow desire for something else to replace desire for God in our lives. We might still love God, but actually what matters to us are the wonderful things God gives us. Yes, we're grateful to God, but it's the things rather than God himself that we crave. We look to God to give us what we think we need, a good job, a comfortable home, a happy family, healing when we're ill. And if God doesn't deliver, we become disappointed with him. And when that happens, when life is not working as you think it should, when you're dogged by disappointment, it is easy to feel that God has let you down. To feel disappointed with him. To feel like Asaph. Why doesn't God always work for our good? Because we subconsciously expect God to meet our expectations of what is good. I quoted earlier Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. But that verse goes on. Who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The good that God is always working for his children is that he is going to make us more like Jesus until we go home to be with him. That is the ultimate good, and it is a good that God will never allow to slip. In all things, God will be working for that good purpose. And along the way, we might face all sorts of human disappointments. Things we've dreamed about come crashing down. People we've relied on prove to be unreliable. Yes, those disappointments are real. But even through those, God is at work for our ultimate good. And that's what Israel had to realize in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah. Remember it? Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Yet again, people who were disappointed in life, disappointed with God. But the antidote to that was to renew their vision of him. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Is what John the Baptist had to realize in our New Testament reading. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? After a glorious ministry as the forerunner, John had ended up being thrown in prison, not what he would have expected. He was disappointed. The antidote was to have his attention drawn away from himself and onto the truth about Jesus. And that is what Asaph realized. Verse 21 of Psalm 73, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. In other words, when I looked at my situation with purely human eyes, when I allowed that to cast me down into disappointment with God, I was being just like anyone else who doesn't believe in the Lord. But then he lifted his eyes. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, the only antidote to the sort of disappointment that Radiohead sang about and which so many people find characterizes their lives, the only antidote is being able to say to the Lord, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Now that doesn't mean we're supposed to reject all the good things God gives us and become like hermits living in caves. Writing to Timothy, Paul said that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God gives us so much to enjoy. The wonder of creation, our work, music, art, family, friendships, health, comfort, fruitful ministry. But if any of those things become the object of our desire, they will let us down. But if our desire is for God himself, if we live in awe of his glory, if the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, then we will not finally be disappointed. You see, when it comes to disappointment, fundamentally there are only two ways of living. There is the way of Radiohead's No Surprises and so many other songs. A heart that's full up like a landfill. A job that slowly kills you. Bruises that won't heal. No alarms, no surprises. Just the disappointment that comes from knowing that no matter what you have, something is missing. The only other way is the way of Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So where does that leave you? This morning, will you leave Christchurch a no surprises person? Or will you leave Christchurch a Psalm 73 person? There is actually no other alternative.